Now we have an opportunity to study a portion of God's Word and its meaning and application to our lives. As I mentioned, today and Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to talk about marriage relationship. We're going to talk about husbands and wives. And I realize when we do this, this isn't a topic that has an immediate application to everyone who is a member of this congregation. But it has an application to many. And it's a part of the counsel of God that has to be studied. And so we're going to engage in this study. And even if there's not an immediate application to your life today, there may be someday. And so I know and trust that I have the attention of everyone as we open our Bibles up to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to take a look at what husbands can do to help their wives be better wives. Good, happy marriages don't just happen. That happily ever after takes a lot of work. Marriage is a cooperative effort with both spouses working together, sacrificing what they have to, and supplying what they can to make their marriage the best that it can be. This lesson today is for husbands. Most men like to fix things. We are fixers. By and large, if something is broken around the house, we want to fix it. But it seems when things are broken in our home, that is, in our marriage or in our home life, men are a little more hands-off, looking for someone else to step in and to take care of that. We know that's not right because God has made the man the head of the home. And men, we would do well to see this as a position of responsibility and accountability, not just a position of authority. Husbands, ultimately you are held responsible for your marriage, for the success and the happiness of your marriage and your home. When problems arise in a marriage, it's easy to criticize, it's easy to point fingers and to bring up the mistakes and the shortcomings. But in this lesson, what I want us to do, I want us as men to shift away from being fault finders, and that's easy to do in this it's somebody else's fault generation. I want us to shift away from being fault finders to being problem solvers. And I want us to look at some of the things that you and I can do to help our wives to be better wives. Instead of being critical, how can we contribute in a positive way? Now, before we go any further, I realize it takes two. It takes two. And it may be that your wife has absolutely no interest in your marriage being good. I'm sorry, you married Jezebel. That happens sometimes. What we're talking about here is not a magical formula. It's not a wand that you can wave and everything's made perfect. But what we are talking about are some things that you can do to help your wife. If she's wanting to be the best wife she can be, here's some things that you can do to help her. And I'd like to think that I know those who are gathered here well enough to know that you're married to good wives who want to do their best. So here's some things Peter tells us that we can do to bring out the best in our wives. Let's read the text first. It will serve as our outline for our study. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." As we get into this verse, let's not overlook the beginning of this verse. It says, "Husbands, likewise." What does that mean? Well, so far in this chapter, from verses 1 through 6, Peter's been talking to wives. And wives, here's some things that you need to be doing. Husbands, likewise, God has instructions for you. And so today, that's where we're starting. We're starting with the fact that husbands, God has instructions for you and for me. What is the first instruction? Let's not overlook it. Dwell with them. Dwell with your wife. This is the first responsibility this verse gives us. That means that the husband and the wife need to live together. We know that in the beginning, the woman was created because God noticed that it was not good for man to be alone. Guess what, husbands? It's not good for your wife to be alone. God designed the home so that the husband and the wife are dwelling together, are living together. There are going to be times when husbands and wives have to be separated from one another, but prolonged separation is not a good thing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Prolonged time away from one another will give Satan the opening that he needs to get into your heart and to wreck your marriage. And if you think, no, Satan wouldn't ever do anything like that, you're naive. He'll take whatever opening he can be given. Spend time with your wife. Dwell with her, live with her, and spend time with her. And I realize that as I'm saying this, we're almost 12 months into a pandemic where we have been spending time together in our little cubicles, in our families. And we might be saying, hey, hold on, enough is enough. You can be in a home with somebody without spending good time with that person. We all know that. Spend quality time with your wife. When you go to work, when work is over, come home and be with your wife. Occasional hobbies are fine. Being away from one another is fine, but relationships, any kind of relationship, takes time, requires time. So spend time with your wife. You want to help your wife be a better wife? You dwell with her. You live with her. And you spend time with her. And do so, Peter says, with understanding. With understanding. Dwell with them with understanding. I don't know if you've realized this or not, but men and women are different. The understatement of the decade, right? Dwell with them with understanding. Well, how long is that going to take? All the time you have. It's going to take just about all the time that you have, but it's worth the time. It's worth the time. God created us different. And again, we're living in a time that's wanting to erase those differences and make us all just alike. And what a shame. God created us different, and we need to understand those differences. We need to put forth the effort to understand those differences. Husbands, you need to understand that women are different from men. And husbands, we need to understand that our wife is different from other women. Your wife is not just like your mother. Your wife is not just like your sister or whatever female relative you have that you're close to, that you use as a barometer to judge other women with. Your wife is different. She is her own person. And you need to understand that. You need to understand the things that make her different from you, the things that make your wife unique and different. Colossians 3, verse 19 tells husbands, "Love your wives and do not become bitter toward them." Why do husbands become bitter towards wives? Because there's these differences that come up, these frustrations that come up. And here we are, we're problem solvers, we want to fix, and we've got something here that we can't just reach in and flip a switch. And that can become frustrating. So God tells us as husbands, take it easy. Back up. Don't become bitter about this. You need to understand your wife and understand what makes her different. Understand what makes her unique. Understand her likes and her dislikes. You know what her buttons are? Don't push them. Don't push them just to get a cheap laugh or a joke. You know the things that upset her? Don't do those things. You know what her expectations are? Try to fulfill those. Understand the things that make her different from you. Understand her role as a keeper of the home. because husbands and wives have different roles that have been given to them. In the book of Titus, at chapter 2 and verse 5, Titus chapter 2, we can start up at verse 4, that the older women are to teach the younger women, admonish them to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You need to understand what being a homemaker is about. You need to understand what your wife's role is as the keeper of the home so that you have the right expectations of her, that you're not expecting something impossible for her from her or something that you have no right to expect. You don't want her doing that to you. So try to understand that role as a homemaker. And you know what? Give her the freedom to take care of the home as she sees fit. The home is the wife's domain. I mean, if it was up to you and to me, we know what a bachelor pad looks like. I remember I was living on my own for about a year before Christy and I got married. And when we got married, the house changed. It changed. Posters were gone. Candles showed up all over the house that I wasn't allowed to light. Soaps showed up that I wasn't allowed to use. Doilies were put all over the place. Attention was given to different things that I really didn't give the attention to as a single guy. Guys, let's understand that. Let's understand her role as a keeper of the home and allow her to do that. That will help her to be a better wife. And you need to understand also the things that it will take to help her to be a fruitful vine. We read when our services began, Psalm 128 and verse 3, that your wife will be like a fruitful vine. Well, a fruitful vine takes some care. You've got to take care of that. You've got to nurture it. Understand those things that it will take to make your wife a fruitful vine. Give her the environment she needs to flourish in. Give her the praise. Give her the support that she needs to be a fruitful vine. It is to your best interest that you help your wife be the best wife that she can be. Who's going to benefit most from that if not you? So dwell with her with understanding. Peter goes on to say that we are to give honor to the wife. The idea behind honoring our wife is that we deem her as being precious and we treat her accordingly. Doesn't mean you outdo her on posts on social media about how great she is. We all get tired of having to see that much sugar coming up on our social media post. Now what that means is that you make sure that she knows that she is the most important person in your life, other than God, that she is it. There is a special place, guys, there's a special place in our heart for our mother, right? There's a bond between sons and their mothers. And no one is able to touch that. No one's able to encroach that and take that place. I've got a special place in my heart for both my grandmothers, for my daughter. But my wife knows that there's a place in my heart for her that's above everybody else. So we're not talking about pushing someone out of the way and putting her in it. We're talking about putting her on the pedestal that she belongs. Honor her. Honor her how? Honor her by being a man, not a boy. She didn't marry a boy. She married a man. Be a man. Take yourself seriously and take your marriage seriously. Your wife has taken your name, hasn't she? It's up to you to make sure that it's a name worth taking. Be a man. Be someone that she can respect and that she can honor. Be a leader in your home. Not a dictator, not a tyrant, but be a leader in your home. In Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at some scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Husbands, let me tell you what. Don't worry about your wife submitting. You worry, or you give your attention to being the leader you need to be. Your wife will take care of the submission. Let her take care of that. You be the kind of leader that she can submit to, that she wants to submit to. Let her know that you can be trusted. Don't make her do your job and her job both. She's got enough to do. You do your part. Be the leader in the home. Be responsible. Be dependable. That will give you both peace of mind. That will help her to be a better wife. And be a provider. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, "If anyone will not provide for his own," notice the gender specific there, his own. Husbands, that's us. "If anyone will not provide for his own," especially those of his own household, "he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Chances are when your wife married you, she left a stable home where all her needs were provided for. You had no right to take her away from that and give her anything less. I remember my mother telling me before I ever thought about getting married, she said, "You have absolutely no business asking a woman to marry you if you can't provide for her." None. So you provide for your wife. Provide for her materially. Give her the things that she needs to make her home, the things that she needs physically to survive, but provide for her socially. Provide for her emotionally. Provide for her spiritually. You are a provider. Provide these different things for the most important person in your life. There's something else as we talk about providing. I didn't realize this. I had to have another older brother in Christ who had been a husband a lot longer than I had to point this out to me. For the most part, one thing that is very important to women is safety and security. And as guys in our bachelor pads, we don't give a lot of thought to that, do we? Hey, anything comes up, we'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. That's not a big thing to us. It's a big thing to your wife, most likely. So provide safety for her. Provide security for her. Why should I do that? We're talking about helping your wife be a better wife. So give her the things that she needs. Give her the material things, the emotional support. Give her that safety. Doing these things for your wife, giving honor to her, will help her to be a better wife. And give honor to her as the weaker vessel. I know when we start down this particular subject, we can get some resistance. What do you mean the weaker vessel? I mean just exactly what the text says. The weaker vessel. Now we can talk about things like pain thresholds, if you want to. And yeah, there may be some women who can just run circles around us guys regarding that. Or things like physical endurance. Or I don't know any guy that could give birth to a child. You know what? I've heard of a lot of women who scream for the epidural. They don't want to give birth to children either. But we're talking about physical size and strength. The woman is, in most cases, the weaker vessel. I ran across a story just this week. A discrimination lawsuit has been filed in Connecticut against the State Athletic Conference's transgender policy that allows transgendered girls, that is biological boys, to compete against biological females. The suit argues the physical differences between biological boys and girls are ignored when they're forced to compete, thereby discriminating against female athletes. You know what they're understanding in Connecticut? That the woman is the weaker vessel. The woman is the weaker vessel. By and large, men are stronger physically than women. You know what that means, men? That means you better handle with care, is what that means. It doesn't mean you get to flex your muscles and show how strong you are. That means that you learn how to handle with care. One way I heard a gospel preacher put this verse, and I think it's a very good illustration, you treat your wife the way you would treat your fine china. It's not just everyday dishes that you pull down and Corelware, you drop it on the floor, it's not going to break, right? That's not your wife. You treat her, you handle her with care. She's the most important thing that you have. You better treat her that way. You better handle her with care. The weaker vessel needs your love. Let's go back here to Ephesians chapter 5. 22 through 24, the wife was to submit to the husband. But starting here at verse 25, husbands, love your wives. How are we supposed to do that? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? He loved her sacrificially. He gave himself for her. So you love your wife sacrificially. If you wouldn't die for her, don't ask her to marry you. That's something that should already be settled in the mind of any man before he even goes and buys a ring. I'd sacrifice, I'd give my life for you. So love sacrificially, but there's more than that. Verse 26, Christ loved purposefully, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. There was a purpose behind what the love of Christ drove him to do for the church. You need to love your wife purposefully, that you honor her, that you keep her on that pedestal that she belongs on. And then we read on, verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. So love her sacrificially, purposefully. Love her better than you love yourself. That's how you honor her as the weaker vessel. Be affectionate to your wife. Wives, isn't it amazing what just a handful of compliments can do? Guys, we like getting compliments. We like being told that we're appreciated. We like being told thank you for what we've done. Your wife wants to hear that too. You want to help your wife be a better wife? You want to encourage her, motivate her to do the best she can? Give her some sincere compliments. And let me step aside here. Wives, if you're not used to getting those, and all of a sudden you start getting some of them, accept them. Don't laugh them off. Don't say, oh, you don't mean that. We're trying to do best, our best. We're trying to do better. So accept those compliments. Something else, honor her as the weaker vessel. Be kind and courteous. In Ephesians chapter 4, you back up chapter 4, verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Preacher, that's talking about members of the church and how we treat one another. That's right. But isn't it sad that some husbands can treat total strangers better than they treat their own wives? How sad that is. Who's more deserving of your kindness and your courtesy and your forgiveness than your own wife. You want to honor her as the weaker vessel? Give her your kindness, give her your forgiveness. Be grateful for her. We've already mentioned this. Say thank you to your wife. Show appreciation for all that she has done and all that she continues to do. Be grateful for her and praise her. Let's go to her passage. Proverbs chapter 31. Come on, guys. Let's go to the wife's passage. This is her, right? Proverbs chapter 31 talks about the virtuous wife and everything that she is supposed to be. Husbands, you know we're in this chapter too. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28 through 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Praised by who? Husbands, give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Husbands, we need to be praising our wives. Look, the verse started out in verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Children need to be getting up out of their bed in the morning and praising their mother and thanking their mother. You know how they're going to learn how to do that? From us, guys. From their dads. Praising their mother and thanking their mother. So we need to be teaching them. We need to be praising our wives. Never, ever, ever run down or criticize your wife before others. Never talk to others about things that would dishonor her. That will not help her to be the best that she can be. I mean, you're not a junior high football coach. That might have worked in sports where the coach tell you, you're doing pathetic, you're doing terrible. And we'd respond to that and want to do a little bit better. Your wife isn't going to respond to that. No, being unloving, being unkind, being rude, being harsh, being demanding, being ungrateful is never going to bring out the best in your wife. Because you want others to treat you, so you treat them. As we hear from the Lord in Matthew 7 and verse 12. So honor your wife as the weaker vessel. Being heirs together, Peter continues, the husband and the wife are one flesh, co-heirs, joint heirs together. They are a team. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 31, quoting from the book of Genesis, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The husband and the wife make a separate family unit. Now, I've heard that there have been some in-laws of the wives who have pointed out, well, the verse says that the man's supposed to leave his father and mother, but it doesn't say that the wife is supposed to leave her father and mother. And so you've got the meddling in-laws that only make it worse, not better. No, the husband and the wife separate and form their own family unit. They are an extension of the parents' family, yes, but they need to be recognized as a separate family unit. But that's another matter altogether. Husbands, you and your wife, you're dwelling together, you're spending time together, you are joint heirs together. Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife, are mentioned, I believe, it 6 times in the New Testament. All 6 times they're mentioned together. That was a husband and a wife who were joint heirs. They worked together for the Lord. You need to be doing that with your wife. Do things together. Enjoy hobbies together. Help her with her housework. What? You just said that the woman is the keeper of the home. Step in and help her with the housework. You know what that does? That allows her to get through with it a little bit quicker, and the two of you have more time to spend together. And you're doing things together, helping her with that. Be that team. Be joint heirs together. And the verse ends with this warning that your prayers may not be hindered. Don't ignore her spiritual needs. Help her to be the best Christian that she can be. But with this phrase here, that your prayers may not be hindered, this brings another element into your marriage. One that needs to be there from the very beginning, should always be there at the forefront of your marriage, and that is the fact that God is involved in your marriage. And if you're not the husband that you should be, it's going to impact your relationship with God. And it should be very simple for us to understand why that is true. You're married to one of God's daughters. You're married to one of God's daughters. And you know what he did long ago? In her mother's womb, he wove her together for you. He put her together for you. He gave her those eyes and that smile that still takes your breath away. He gave her that heart that has all that personality and all of those characteristics that you put up on that pedestal. And if she's a Christian, she's most definitely a daughter of God. Now let me ask, what's God going to think of you mistreating his daughter? How's God going to take that? You and I both know how he's going to take that. A lot of us have been given our own daughters, and we know what we would think of that. You better believe the way you treat your wife is going to affect your spiritual life and your fellowship with God. So treat her right, that your prayers be not hindered, that your fellowship with God not be disjointed or severed altogether. Treat her the way that she's supposed to be treated. These things, as I said, it's not some magical formula that's going to make everything perfect overnight. No, it's a lifelong journey. But husbands, likewise, here's what we are to do. And this isn't, you know, like a smorgasbord where we can go through and pick the ones that we like. No, we need to give our attention to all of these things. Dwell with her with understanding. Giving honor to your wife, not someone else's. Giving honor to your wife as the weaker vessel. Being heirs together with her that your prayers would not be hindered. Now, wives, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. But husbands, our wives know whether or not we're actually trying. So let's try. Let's put forth the effort to help our wife, to be the wife that she needs to be by being the husbands that we need to be. And if you're here and you're not married yet, then, men, you know this is the kind of husband you need to be. And women, this is the kind of man you need to be looking for right here. The kind of man who is going to help you to be the best wife you can be and help you to get to heaven. Thank you so much for your kind attention. As I said, Lord willing, next week we'll take a look at what the Bible has to say about how wives can help their husbands to be better husbands. And I expect all you wives to be back next week. We're going to take a look at what the Bible has to say for you. But men, this has given us a lot of things to think about and a lot of things to work on, and let's do that. I realize that a study like this is not designed primarily to bring about a response to the gospel call for salvation, but we extend that at this time. Knowing that God has designed the home and the family and marriage, we need to understand that God also has designed the plan for our salvation. And it's a perfect plan. And we need to respond to it in faith and obedience. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then confess that belief Repent of your sins, and let us baptize you in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Whatever your spiritual need is, would you let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song?